Hallelujah. It's a special day. It's water baptism Sunday here at Rhema Bible Church. And, many times that we just kind of leave it to the end of service. And, when we clap and we're happy people got baptized. But, I was just going to preach a message, but a lot of folks don't even know what water baptism means and why they got water baptized. Some of you maybe got water baptized at a young age and have no clue why, when, where, and, don't even know what it means. So I want to talk about water baptism a little bit, because a lot of people, they say, well, I know what a marriage means, but how many times have you heard a marriage ceremony? Every time you come to someone gets married, you hear this, similar ceremony that you've ever heard. But maybe there's someone out there today that after you hear about water baptism, maybe you want to go up and get rebaptized. Because whenever you got baptized, you didn't even know what it was. But water baptism, the first account we ever have of water baptism occurs in the New Testament. With John the Baptist, obviously, because he's John the Baptist, he was the very first Baptist, and he's the very first person that we see that baptized people. That's where you get the name Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to actually start with verse number 5. It says this, people from Jerusalem and from all Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River, I've never been to Israel, but I guess the Jordan River is not a really nice river, pretty dirty river. So, that's why when you go in dirty, you come out clean. All right. All right. The first account we have of water baptism in the New Testament is right here. Water baptism is not taught as an ordinance in the Old Testament because this was an ordinance of the New Testament church. Since being born again was not possible until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was no reason to teach baptism in the Old Testament. But Matthew 3:11 says this. Jesus talking says, John the Baptist once again, he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The baptism of John the Baptist was a baptism unto repentance and acceptance of the gospel of the coming Messiah who John had not met. When Jesus came on the scene and asked John to baptize him in the River Jordan, John suddenly realized who and what his baptism was all about. We have a mandate of water baptism. As you read the New Testament, water baptism is an obvious mandate. A mandate is an order or a command, all right? A command is something that must be followed. If you're in the military and they give you a command, if you do not follow it, there are consequences to pay, all right? So let's look at what the scriptures has to say concerning baptism. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The one who has all authority gives the command for the church to practice this ordinance of water baptism. Water baptism was obviously a part of the process of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was baptized whenever he began the actual ministry part of his life. And we can see in Matthew 3:13, it says this, and Jesus went from Galilee to the river, to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. This is interesting, and I love the way the New Living Translation says this, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one that needs to be baptized by you. See, whenever Jesus was there, he understood that he was the Messiah. He says, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus says, it should be done. We must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, setting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. In order to understand the reason for being water baptized, it's important to carefully consider what the Bible says about it. Jesus himself was baptized. He was not a sinner, yet he humbled himself in obedience to identify with us and give us an example to follow. So Jesus gave us an example to follow, and that's why these candidates have chosen to follow his example and be baptized in water. All right? You know, so we talked about that that Jesus gave us the command, or gave the disciples the command. You know, a command is something that requires obedience. We talked about if you're in the military and you don't follow a command, you get in trouble and you might end up in Leavenworth, all right? All right. Since Jesus left a final command for us to be baptized as the disciples and to baptize others to make them disciples, there is nothing stopping us doing the right thing and obeying his wishes for us on this matter. Baptism demonstrates our love for Jesus. You know, John 14:15 says, if you love me, obey my commands. It's important to obey his commands concerning water baptism. Now, the early Christians called baptism a sacramentum, or we call it a sacrament. All right. The Latin word sacrament actually is a Latin word for the soldier's oath of absolute devotion, allegiance, and obedience to his commander. And so, you know, water baptism is following after what Jesus taught us to be a follower after him. Now, the method of water baptism has been much, debated over time. You know, some people said, well, you just sprinkle them. Some people says it happens, you bring babies and you sprinkle those babies. Now, we here at Rhema Bible Church have decided, I believe it's 9 years of age, I think, that we picked, because we believe that you need to be old enough to understand what it really means. Because if you don't understand what it really means, I mean, why would should you? Because so many things happen. How many of you remember what it was like to be 3 years old? You probably don't, because you don't remember things at 3 years of age. And if you do remember things, it's very slight. Now, I'm like my old, this is kind of weird, okay? But this is, I guess it was an impressionable thing. One of my first memories of a young kid, there's a couple of memories that I have as a young kid. I think I was 3 years old, and I remember the time that I think it was in the motorhome, I dropped the camera in the toilet. And you have to understand, the cameras were way more expensive when I was 3 years old than they are today. I mean, today no one buys a camera. It's all on your phone. But you remember that when I dropped the camera in the toilet. And the other early member I have was the neighbor man. How old was I when the neighbor man wrote on our wall? Was I three? All right. See, I guess memory starts at three. When I was 3 years old, the neighbor man came over our house and wrote all over our walls. Well, that's at least what, that was my story. So, what happens is we were still living in Dallas, Texas. You know, how many realize there's a baseball team called the Texas Rangers, and we get there, and I don't know if they gave it away to everyone or my parents actually bought me one, but there was a little Texas Ranger pennant with a pencil on it, and I brought it home, and I don't know where my parents were, but I decided to write on the walls with my Texas Ranger new pencil. At least it was pencil, okay? You know, at least it wasn't Sharpie. So when I wrote on the walls, they asked me who did it. I said it was neighbor man. My point is, some people got baptized and have no clue why. All right? Because your memory doesn't start. Now, those are the only things I remember at 3 years old. Dropping the camera in the toilet and getting in trouble for it and writing on the wall. All right? Anyway, the method of baptism is one of the most... You guys are going to only remember one thing. I probably don't remember anything about baptism. You remember about the neighbor man. All right. All right, the method of baptism is one of the most argued points concerning this subject. The Bible clearly describes the baptismal process, so let's see what it has to say concerning the method of baptism. Baptism requires water. Anytime someone is baptized in the New Testament, it is with water. Baptism requires not just water, but plenty of water. All right, the Greek word baptize, which means to plunge, to drown, or to sink. Now, we promise we won't drown anybody here today, but we will plunge them under the water, all right? John 3:23 says this, at this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Anon near Salem, because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. So understand, he baptized a place that there was plenty of water, because you can't dunk people underwater when there's no water to dunk people under. All right. All right. Baptism requires going down into the water. Acts 8:38 says this, he ordered the carriage to stop, this is Philip, and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So they had to go into the water. Then the next verse, 8:39, baptism requires coming out of the water. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. And then Matthew 3:13 says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and setting on him. So the meaning of water baptism is this. It is the complete surrender of everything you are and everything you have to follow Jesus Christ and to be obedient to him. Having said that, what does that mean exactly? Well, it's baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a public confession of your faith and a commitment to Jesus Christ. And it is the next step after salvation. Through repentance and faith, it is an important foundation for the Christian life. Water baptism is a practical demonstration of a spiritual reality that has already taken place in your life. It's just a symbolism for something you've already happened in your life, but it's an outward expression. It's kind of like, I won't say that because it's in my sermon, all right? Romans 6:3-8, it says, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful self were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. Baptism isn't some magical, mystical act. The water isn't magical. The pronouncement of in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit isn't magical. And the person performing the baptism is not magical. We're definitely not magical, folks. All right. Through baptism, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And what makes is what makes baptism effective. You know, here's one simple way to explain it. It's a symbol of your new life as a Christian. We bury the old life and we rise to walk in a new life. Baptism is like a wedding ring. It is the outward symbol of the commitment you made in your heart, a commitment that has to be followed through and lived out on a daily basis. We continue to practice the water baptism today as a symbol of our personal and public identification and union with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin, dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all our sins are forgiven. The slate was wiped clean and the old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. Water baptism is a statement of faith. My old life is behind me. I am a new person with a new life. Water baptism is a sign of repentance. Repentance means change, a change so drastic that the old person is buried. Water baptism is a way of giving testimony to what has happened inwardly and a clear commitment to turn from the old life. It's, you know, when you go under, the old man dies. And when you arise, you become new, fresh and clean. Maybe you're here today and you've been baptized. Or maybe you haven't been baptized because, you know, a lot of the charismatic churches didn't really have water baptism. There wasn't baptistries in the church. So maybe that's never happened for you. But if you're here today and you have not been baptized and you want to be, and if you'll just go right now, the ushers will help you go back here to the baptistry, and we have some clothes you can put on so that way you won't get your clothes, you know, wet. And then also, if you're here, I'm sure most of you that came already have already gone that way. You can head that way. But water baptism is for your benefit more than God's. Water baptism outwardly demonstrates what has happened inwardly. Water baptism helps you grasp the reality of the spiritual truth that the old you has died. Water baptism is only as important as the participant believes it to be. Water baptism is their confession and a public commitment. Unless a person really believes they died, there is no need for a burial. It is something we must do. It is not something we must do to impress God, but something to impress our mind what happened to us inwardly. Water baptism is for our benefit, not God's. As we are baptized in water, we are in effect saying goodbye to our old life and saying hello to a new creation that is in Christ Jesus. A major benefit to the believer is the clean break that water baptism makes with their past. Water baptism is a point of separation, dividing the old from the new. It says the past is dead and gone, drawing a clear line between the old life and the new, graphically imprinted on the minds of the believer. This is a great story. Tom Ellsworth tells a story about a Christian who went on a tour of the Holy Land. When they got to the traditional site of Calvary, the tour guide explained what had happened during Jesus' crucifixion. He asked, "Has any of you been here before?" So, has anyone here been here before? This Christian raised his hand and responded, "I have." The guide asked, "You have? When were you here?" The Christian replied, "About 2,000 years ago." See, he was there 2,000 years. He identified with Christ's crucifixion 2,000 years ago. But water baptism is, you know, we were there, but now it's an outward expression of what's already happened. All right. When something makes a big impact on you, it needs to find an outward expression. Jesus' baptism signified the beginning of his ministry. Thus, for us, water baptism is a testimony that we are offering our lives in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're saved, you're not saved to sit, you're saved to serve. Baptism is not effective because you got wet. It's effective because it's part of the process of pledging your unending devotion to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for those men and women, boys and girls, have decided to outwardly show what's happened on the inside. We thank you, Father, as they go under, everything is washed clean. As they die to their sins and they come out a new Christian that's sanctified and ready to serve, we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.